on your part.
All right, welcome to the On Track and Field podcast. I'm JT Ayers, your host. World Championships right around the corner. And I have a very special guest with me that's going to talk all about track and field and World Championships. But before I do that, On Track and Field, they're the sole reason I'm doing this podcast, and they're the only sponsor. They're amazing to work with. I just got a high jump pit from them. I'm so thrilled with it. And my athletes just saw it and they're freaking out because it's humongous. It's half the D on the track. They're so excited. They're going to take care of you as well. So go to ontrackandfield.com, check them out. And if it's a family run business, so you can find Steve Rangel, the CEO, and you can even hear him at the end of this podcast with his beautiful, sexy voice, talk about the how to get in contact with them. And if you have any issue, just contact me. Maybe there'll be a promo going and I can help you get a very cool, man, 15% off. Yes. Yes, please. So ontrackandfield.com. With me is the NBC sports director of social media, 24/7 track and field, especially right now. He is a very, very busy man. Just off podcast, we were talking about what his spreadsheets might look like of just trying to keep all this thing in order. But how you and I benefit, dear listener, is he puts a lot of great stuff out on social media and what to follow. So we're going to do our very best in about 15 to 20 minutes to talk about everything track and field in the World Championships in Budapest. Are you going to Budapest? Are they going to send you there?
I'm not going to Budapest. I wish that would be great. We got a whole big team headed out there, particularly with all the commentary folks, but I'll be holding it down from here.
All right. Well, we can't cover it all, but we're going to try to get through like the big sexy races. We're going to try to talk about some of the athletes and the declarations. We're also going to talk about who's not racing. That's a pretty big deal, but let's just start with the hurdles. So the men's 110 hurdles. I mean, right now we have three people in the world that have broken 13 and then a bunch that are super close. Like there's a strong possibility. They're all nine people in the finals are going to break 13. But man, tell us about the 110 hurdles. Give us a quick breakdown of it.
Yeah, you know, I think it's always fascinating as soon as you start to look at some of these events and starting to figure out, especially from after what we saw in Eugene, like where are the potential sweeps really for any nation? But you start to look at this one and that pops up right away. Obviously, there's plenty of depth there, but that one jumps out as one where certainly you have Grant and everything he's capable of doing, but the U.S. absolutely has the type of depth in that event to put easily three men under 13, but that could for sure be one where we see a potential sweep. I mean, you know, you got a guy like Cordell Tinch with the waves he made throughout the course of his NCAA outdoor season. To see a guy like that medal would be just an incredible end
Division
to his
two
story on this year.
Yeah.
And so if he you're wins, thinking that would be, I mean, yeah, that would be a break the internet moment. We had a heart rate monitor on his mom out at USA's. I know that video is out there on TikTok and Instagram, NBC Olympics, and you saw it was such a cool moment during the final. You got to see Cordell's heart rate and his mom's heart rate, and they were almost identical watching him in that final at USA's qualify for Worlds. That was such a cool moment for him and his family too. But so a guy like that, you can't like not root for a guy like that with kind of where he's come from.
All right, potential sweep. And it's crazy to even see like no Devin Allen, no Trey Cunningham. And yet we still have Daniel Roberts. We still have, Cordell Titch, and we have Grant Holloway. I mean, but the Jamaican Rashid Broadbell, I mean, he ran 12.94 already.
Yeah. I mean, he's beating Grant and, you know, Hansel Parchment, you know, obviously with everything he's done had a bit of a quiet season, but with how accomplished his resume is, you can't write him off that type of athlete who knows how to peak for a championship where on paper he's not quite there with Broadbell and Grant and those guys running sub 13s this season, but you never know. Someone like that proved that he can do this, proved he can beat the best in the world. So I wouldn't count him out either.
Well, let's go over to women's 100 hurdles. I mean, the top five in the world, three of them are from the United States. And what separates number one through five in the world? 6/100ths of a second. It's insane. So what do you see from this race?
Yeah, the elephant in the room obviously is what's going on with Toby Amuson and all of the, you know, the AIU controversy. I think the track and field community got a good lesson in following the social media clickbait and drama versus paying attention to journalism when false reports came out about her getting cleared for Worlds when she actually hadn't. So that's huge. Whether or not the world record holder will actually be there definitely changes that dynamic. But, you know, Jasmine Camacho Quinn, defending Olympic champion. Yeah, you know, I was there trackside in Doha when Nia Ali won Worlds in 2019, and what an incredible moment that was. And, you know, to see what it was like for her and her son at USA's and Eugene as well, to see her win would be phenomenal. Yeah, I know Kenny Harrison, though, is just one of the most consistent in the sport year in, year out. To be honest, I would love to see her get that world title. I think that would be so incredible. But this is one of the most exciting, like, if you had to pencil in, like, which race is most likely going to be, like, down to a photo finish and is going to have the timer, like, just freaking out over how they, you know, move that line millimeters to decide the winner. This feels like that race, which you have no idea who's actually going to win this thing.
Absolutely. Okay, let's quickly go to the men's 400. And the big elephant in the room is, like, Michael Norman. And, I mean, what is he doing? What is he not doing? Coaching changes. And then you have Wade Van Niekerk, who seems to be back and running great. But the problem is that you have Steven Gardner, who's just literally Mr. Reliable, always coming through and always is in the mix for a medal. What do you see in this?
I'm backing Wade Van Niekerk. I think Michael Norman, you know, he was publicly, you know, made it clear that he was trying to make a switch to the 100. Just hasn't quite been there this season. Doesn't seem like he's in that form. And for me, Steven Gardner, he always flies under the radar a little bit for some reason, and then just comes out of nowhere and seems to be in the mix always for a title and come Worlds and the Olympics. But I mean, Wade Van Niekerk's been in the best form of his life since Rio, pretty much, when he broke that world record running at the outside of the track. So I would love to see him. And just kind of watching his season and how he's progressing and his consistency, yeah, I think that Wade Van Niekerk is going to get this one.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm kind of rooting for him too. I like the guy a lot. How can you not? He's just so good. Yeah, and a little bit under the radar for some reason, even as the fastest to ever do it. Okay, what about women's 400? Where do you see this? I mean, we don't have a lot of American representation in this one besides Britton Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, this one's interesting. Now Paulino, the heavy favorite. We have no idea where Shauna Miller-Weibo is coming into this. It's incredibly impressive that she's going to be there in the first place, you know, so soon after giving birth. So seeing, I think, making the final, making the podium would be an incredible achievement for her, but we have no idea what type of form she's coming in. So Paulino, heavy, heavy favorite, but someone like Britton Wilson, I mean, Rashida Adeleke coming off of what she did at UT. I mean, she's run in the low 49s. She's someone who could be a sleeper pick to potentially win the whole thing. You know, she recently just went pro as well. I think Britton Wilson seems like she's the best bet for the U.S. But, you know, Talitha Diggs, I mean, she's a gamer. I could see her being in right up there, but it could be really fascinating. I think it's going to be hard to see someone beating Paulino if Miller-Weibo is not at 100%. But if Paulino falters a little bit, I mean, you could see three collegiate athletes on the podium potentially, or at least like right in that top five, which would just be pretty cool.
Love it. And we got to talk about who's not racing. I mean, when Sydney says she can't, I mean, that changes the whole field. I mean, that changes everything.
Yeah, I mean, you saw, you know, she was one of the featured athletes from, you know, Budapest going back to last year. They flew her, you know, Arian Knight in. They did some like mini features. You know, she was the athlete, and she is one of those handful of athletes that transcends the sport and draws in a whole, you know, different level of audience. Her not being this race obviously changes everything. I mean, listening for people who were in the U.S. watching USA's, you know, Otto and you know, Sonia, who are calling that race, you know, both of them right after that final said, hey, like, she's the favorite. Like, she is the favorite for Budapest. And so for her to pull out definitely completely opens this race up to, you know, also that opens a spot on the 4x4 as well, which we know, you know, for anyone who watched Worlds last year and saw what, you know, what she did there, you know, with an outrageous split, even though she was in the lead, to imagine what she would have split this year with the kind of open 400 time she was running. My God, like, I don't even know what we would have seen in the 4x4 from her.
No, now we just need to, you know, hope and pray and cross our fingers that she's able to do that in Paris next year. So 4x4s, I know we just talked about the 400. I mean, is USA a favorite in both? I mean, how could they not be, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's USA seems to have those on lock these days. I will say, I mean, the Jamaican men have a really strong group of open 400 runners this year. I think stronger, maybe if when you look at that depth, they're right in that same range as the US, you know, having a number of guys. I mean, I think all three of their qualifiers are right around 44.5 or faster. So they're right there with the US men and with that depth. US men have a little bit more there, but I think the women are going to run away with it on the US side. I don't see anyone challenging there, but the Jamaicans could give the Americans a real run for their money this time around. But that's also looking more at the 400s, and that's not factoring in guys like Ry Benjamin, who aren't, you know, in that initial list, but are naturally probably even stronger than a lot of the guys who are going to be qualifying for the open for.
He has to be. I mean, I've even had on this podcast the Olympic coaches and even world coaches that are the relay coaches, and the way they pull, I mean, that's the thing. You and I are basically talking about hypotheticals right now because we don't know who's on the relay. Yeah. And in fact, the athletes don't know who they're on the relay yet because they pretty much make these decisions close to last minute as possible. And it's going to depend. The 4x1, be on the lookout. I'm sure you would, you know, Travis Miller X13 on Twitter for sure. You'll be dropping who's on the relay as soon as possible, correct? Can we follow you and count on you?
Yeah, the second that info is out, it's available. It's getting out there. That's for sure. That's, I know, the one of the most, probably even more so than some race results, it feels like people are more interested just in who's going to get selected for a relay.
Now, 400 hurdles. We have, again, the great rivalry between the Viking from, you know, who cares, and then our beloved Patriot Benjamin. I mean, at this point, and I mean, who do you see winning this thing? I mean, it's honestly, there's basically three or four people that are even doing anything that's like out of this world, and then it's everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, Carson Warmholm is the guy. Like, until Ryan beats him, Carson Warmholm's the answer. And as much as I love Ryan, as talented as he is, you got to beat the best in the world before you're kind of can be considered a contender for it. I think Carson's had his number every step of the way. And so I think that's the big matchup. I think Rye didn't have the best outing at USA, so might not quite be at that top level. Interestingly enough, he said, he, you know, told us on air on NBC broadcast that he's considering a move to the 200 potentially in the future, which would be amazing. I mean, he and Mike Norman used to tear it up a little bit more at USC, and even I think he ran a Diamond League back when he was still repping USC with Mike too. But I don't know. I don't know if Rye is necessarily at that, you know, that peak level that he was when he was, you know, going toe to toe in Tokyo with Carson Warmholm. I mean, Carson Warmholm is just a monster. That dude he's something else. And I don't know. I just don't really see Rye being able to challenge him this year.
Now, what about the women's, on the women's side in the 400 meter hurdles?
Oh, Stefanka Bolshow. She's gone. Signed, sealed, delivered. It's hers. You know, without Sydney there, I don't think there's anyone who's gonna touch what she's able to do in that.
I tend to agree with you. Okay, then we have Noah Lyles. Noah Lyles is like, I will run. I mean, he's, by the way, you and I have both done podcasts with him. We know him personally. He's so good for the sport, and he's so energetic. But this guy's saying things like, I'm gonna run 9:65 in the 100, and then I'm gonna go run 19:10. In the 200. I mean, he has this on the record in the last couple of weeks. Do you see him doing anything close to that? I mean, you and I are both fans of his, but let's be realistic. I mean, that's nuts.
The 1910 definitely more realistic. I mean, 9.6 in nine. I mean, the world record is 9.58. 9.65 is outrageous. He's there in the 200 already. He's been in that ballpark. So I think everyone knows that it's probably just a matter of time. And obviously he said that's his goal. Like his number one goal is that 200 world record. The 100 is probably a stretch. The 200, I mean, he said that I interviewed him on his Instagram live on Friday afternoon, just a couple days ago. I mean, he broke down because he posted some videos about what he said was the best 200 workout of his life. And he broke that down a little bit deeper. And the dude says he's running the best workouts of his life. You know, he's got his docuseries is coming out next Friday on August 18th on Peacock. I've seen that episode. Dude, it's incredible. And to hear, I'm just going to tease it just because I'm not going to give it away. But to hear him and his coach talk about what they've done throughout the course of this season and where he's at in terms of like what he's doing in practice and how much they're actually holding him back as we're watching him run these times. We're like, man, Noah's, he's looking good. He's looking good. And then you see behind the scenes and you're like, oh my God, this is Noah being held back. Like he could be about to do something special in Budapest. The 100, I don't know, but that 200, I mean, he's going there to break the world record. I'm not betting against him. That dude, yeah, he's awesome. Awesome guy too. Even if you have the whole like Jamaican side of this, which anytime he does anything, there's the haters that say you're never going to break Bolt's record. You can't do this. You can't do that. But I mean, if I was them, I'd be like, man, someone's going to break the record at some point. Every record falls eventually. If someone's going to break it, I would want Noah to break it because you can't not leave. It doesn't matter where your country allegiances are. Just go listen to that guy talk for a few minutes and you can't not want to root for him and want to like see him succeed. So I'd be wanting him to break that world record. I definitely think it's on the table next week.
Well, in the 200, this is another potential sweep, which they did last year in Eugene. Yep. I mean, you got Arian Knighton, Noah Lyles, and then of course, Kung Fu Kenny, who's always, always taking up a medal at the end. I mean, I don't understand how that dude does it. The only problem is you got this guy named Tobago who's running really, really good right now.
Yeah, he definitely seems like the one most likely. And it was Zarno Hughes has run well. Also, you know, a couple guys, you know, from Uganda, Tarsus Orgat, who was running for Alabama. Ghana has also got one in the mix running in the 19.7s. But Tobago is definitely the one. I mean, Noah's going to be pushing world record pace. We know Arian Knighton is going to be pushing 19.5 or faster. Kenny, you know, very well could be in that. Kenny actually, when I talked to Noah, you can go to Noah's Instagram and check out that whole conversation live. We actually kind of had the same hypothetical. It's like, who would you pick for the 4x4 of the non-open 400 guys? Kenny was another one. I mean, Kenny Bednarik was just tearing up 4x4s in the open 4 in college. He's another one who, low key, if I was on, you know, to talking about those relay coaches having like the hardest jobs ever, I don't know. I don't see them picking him just because of the other athletes there, but I'd have him on my list as like, hey, we got to at least take a look at this guy. I mean, they might be looking at him more for the 4x1, but that's a dude who can run a crazy 400.
Oh, and he wants it. I've had him on the record on this podcast saying, I want to be on that 4x4. I mean, obviously he likes the 4x1 as well, but man, can you imagine? I mean, you could put Norman. I mean, it's Norman. And you got Benjamin. And then you got guys like Bryce Dedman and Vernon Norwood. And then you even like say, Kenny, get on it. That might be a world record. I mean, that might be a world record team right there.
I mean, name a guy who was more clutch in the 4x4 in college than Grant Holloway. That dude like the amount of anchor legs that dude destroyed while he was at Florida. I mean, that guy could run a 4x4. And like Noah, I mean, I was there in Penn Relays when Noah and Josephus were just getting the whole stadium on their feet running 4x4. I mean, Noah said to me on Friday, I want to run 4x4s. Like the amount of depth, I would love for, I mean, they'll never let do it worlds, but some meet, get our A team out there and then get like the B team with non-400 guys and just see what happens.
Oh, it might be two world records is what's going to happen. Oh, that'd be so cool. I love the way that America's doing sprints right now because they're so versatile. Speaking of that, women's 200, we have Gabby. Are we all living in Gabby's world right now, or is, you know, Jackson, is she not going to give it up?
Oh, no. Oh, man. It's going to be her. It's going to be Shrika Jackson and Gabby. It's going to be those two.
It's those two.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to... Gabby's going to be fried. I mean, Gabby's only running the two. Shrika Jackson's running the 100 rounds as well. So, you know, factor that in what you will. I think it's going to come down to those two. They've, like, pretty clearly proven them to be on another level. I mean, Julian Alfred's kind of a sleeper in both the one and the two, just because we haven't seen her that often at international championship type meets and that type of pressure. We know what her collegiate record is. She's run a couple of more of the low-key pro circuit events since the NCAA season was over and did well, but this is, you know, a whole nother stratosphere. And we've seen time and time again, just when these collegiate athletes are running from December and January, we're in mid-August late August by the time they'll actually be running in like 7 to 10 days. So whether or not she's capable of sustaining that, I don't know, but she could be one who people maybe aren't, those who aren't dialed into the collegiate scene as much, or maybe more focused on the pros, aren't as aware of just how freakishly good she is in the one and the two. I could see her being one that, I don't know if she's going to challenge for the win, but I think definitely a podium.
Okay, men's 100. I mean, this could be a sweep or this could be no one. Like, it is so close right now. There's no heavy favorite.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if Noah does what he says he wants to try and do, he's in the mix. This definitely feels like more of a long shot for him. Seems like he's definitely a lock to win the two. Whether or not he, you know, gets through to the final, I feel like he will, but you just never know with 100 and the amount of depth with there is and how those heats end up playing out. But I have no idea. I feel like this is the one where in other events, I'm like, I kind of have like a better feeling, but man, it just by default, I'm going to back, you know, my guy, Fred, he's the defending champion, and it's Fred Curley. I mean, that dude lives for these moments. He's not a guy who's like chasing wins in April. You know, he's a guy who's going after these moments in August. So I feel like he's sort of the default you got to look at, but and there's so many guys right now who are running in those kind of like mid to low 9.8s. Yeah. Like you said, the U.S. could sweep or the U.S. could not get a single guy in the podium.
It's nuts. Well, and on the women's side, Shrika Jackson is already posted a 10.65 this year. I mean, that's insane. But then you got Shikari, who looks, she is back, and she's back with maturity, and she's got a little more swagger. That's like, it seems a little more earned this time around. And I could be talking like complete out of ignorance, but is it kind of just those two right now?
The interesting thing here is that Shellyann Fraser-Pryce, who was initially entered in both, pulled out of the two. And so she's all in on the 100. And she hasn't really raced much this year. I think it's 1085 is, or somewhere in the 10.8s.
Yeah, I think it's 1082.
Yeah, is her season's best. So that's still a ways off from what Shrika and Shikari have been running. But if she's going all in on the 100, I mean, there's literally no one in the world right now who's got like more world medals than she does in the sport who's, you know, actively competing. So that to me signals something that, I mean, it's probably, you know, at this point in her career, maybe knowing that she can't run the one, the two, and the 4x1 potentially, or maybe she's just not there in terms of where her fitness is and coming off of some stuff earlier in the season. But she's one who, you know, is a little bit off of where those other women are now, but. And a lot of people too, looking at Marie-Jose Talu, never quite get, because she's always in that mix,
always there.
In that podium contention, but not necessarily breaking the records or getting the outright wins when she's in the same race as Shellyann and some of these all-time greats that she's been competing against. But she's a sleeper as well, as someone who's won some big races this year. But I mean, Shikari, and if you watch too, like especially like USA's, you know, I was, you know, being there, I was for most of that meet, I was right past the finish line in Eugene, the amount of times that she did not come through the line at 100% and she's still setting world leads in the one and the two. Like, man, she's not like letting loose right now. She's still holding it back and shutting it down a little bit. So I see it as probably Shrika and Shikari, but Marie-Jose Talu, Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce are both right in the mix, and especially Shelly-Ann. I think if she's decided to go all in on the 100, then obviously she's only going there to win. She's not going there. She doesn't care about getting a medal. Whatever she wants to do, she goes there to win the whole thing. So if she's deciding that she's shifting to the one, I've got to imagine that she feels like that's where her best chance is to actually win gold.
Well, and in the women's 4x1, we had a nice little rivalry last year, and he maybe even an upset when the women ran the unbelievable, literally a perfect race, beat the Jamaicans. Now the Jamaicans this year look to be the same four people, whereas the USA side, it might be four different girls this year. Abby's out, Prandini maybe. Aaliyah Hobbs has got to be on the team. Shikari's on the team. I would imagine Gabby's on the team. Yikes. Like, this could be a complete, and I almost foresee those two teams being the 1-2 in the 4x1 as well. Do you see anything different?
No, I mean, in the British squads, they run great in the relays, and they're always in the mix on the 4x1. They've got a good group. You know, we didn't really talk about, you know, Dina Asher Smith has had a strong season so far, and they've always got a group that's, I think they're one of those teams too. You look at in the 4x1, we're this outlier that is always a hot mess every time the 4x1 comes around, where these other nations that are actually racing together and training together more often, you just see, I mean, you look at what Italy did. Like, no one thought that Italy was
Japan on the men's side, right? Every single year.
Yeah, exactly. Always in. I don't know if the, you know, Great Britain has what it takes to win, but again, like we saw last year, if any team falters a little bit, you're straight out of the medals, and you could easily see someone like that podium. Or if the US has a bad race, Jamaicans, who on paper last year should have run away with it and they didn't. So you never know. I think that's what makes the 4x1 so exciting, is it's, you know, game of inches. And yeah, seems like it'll be another US Jamaican show once again, which would be cool. It seems like probably this year and next might be, you know, our last chance potentially to get to see some of these legends, you know, Shelly-Ann, Elaine Thompson-Herah, who's, you know, in the relay pool for Jamaica. And so you got some of these all-time greats, which who knows, maybe Shelly-Ann will keep going. I mean, she doesn't seem like she's slowing down.
No,
so maybe she'll keep going, you know, past Paris. But, you know, some of these athletes on that team, you got to, you know, maybe these next two championship years will be a last to kind of appreciate them.
All right, let's go rapid fire, because I promised you we'd try to get this done in 20 minutes, which is impossible because there's so much happening in the worlds. Men's 1500, what do you got?
I mean, Jakob Ingebrigtsen seems to be breaking world records at will this year. So I'm looking forward to
trying.
Right. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to his post-race interviews as much as his races. That dude doesn't hold back there either. So, yeah, I mean, he's an exciting watch.
He gets any more terrible tattoos. Gosh, he's the worst tattoo. So good at running. Women's 5K.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And I got to give Kara Goucher a shout out on this one. We had our, you know, pre-production call with NBC this week, and she flagged that as one of the races she was most excited for. You know, she's going to be on the call for the distance races, and that this women's 5K, you have the world record holder, the world champion, and the Olympic champion all in this race. So that women's 5K is going to be must watch viewing. Even if you're a sprint fan, your field, no matter what else you got going on, you got to mark that women's 5K down on your schedule as one that you got to tune in for. Is that's a very rare combination in any event. So you get the world champ, the Olympic champ, and the world record holder all in the same race at the same time, especially at a championship meet.
Is anybody beating Anna Hall in the multis?
No, not with the amount, which, you know, is a bummer. I think we all wanted to see that, particularly after, you know, her coach had some comments a little earlier this year, and after Anna did some great stuff. I think we all wanted to see that, but no, I don't see anyone touching that. But for the multis fans, they'll at least be excited to know that Peacock will have dedicated feeds for every single multis event. So, and for the two groups too. So the, you know, the heptathlon high jump A will have their feed, and then the B group will have a feed. So for all you multis fans, throughout the heptathlon decathlon, you'll be able to watch every second of all those events. So for all the Anna Hall fans out there, you're going to have plenty to be excited about.
Seems like these last two are impossible. I mean, is anybody beating Mondo in the pole vault? They can't, right?
Just Mondo, you know, if he makes a mistake, that's it. Yeah. Like no one, you know, if Mondo's the only one who's going to beat Mondo.
Same thing with Krauser in the shot put.
Yeah. Yeah. That dude's just a monster. There's no one that's coming. Same thing. The only thing that trips him up is if he has a bad day. That's the only way that it opens up for somebody else.
These two guys don't have bad days. That's the problem. All right. Where's the best place for us to find the feed, the schedule, everything about Worlds for anybody to find out? Like, you're the guy that knows where to go.
Yeah, this is a tough one. The Americans at least got spoiled in Eugene for once and not having to deal with time zones from somewhere else in the world. But hey, we're back once again. We're going to have some watch guides and stuff coming out this week because there are a lot of events in particular that have, you know, for the West Coasters out there, really going to be hurting for some of these 5 a.m., 2 a.m. starts. It's going to be split up across a bunch of different channels. Peacock is going to have a lot of it. And Peacock's going to have a lot of those dedicated feeds for the multis. There's going to be dedicated feeds for every single field event final. So for all you field event lovers out there, you know, Peacock's going to be your go-to spot for a lot of that. And then throughout the course of the day, there's basically like three different time windows. You got your early morning, you know, middle of the night start. Then you got another window that kind of kicks in late morning, middle of the day, that usually wraps somewhere around 4 o'clock. And that is usually when you'll get your, you know, your TV window, either NBC, you know, USA Network, that kind of stuff is where that afternoon time slot will be. And then a lot of the early mornings will be on Peacock. But then there's also some that, I mean, if you could see my spreadsheet that's keeping track of all the broadcast stuff, it's a headache just to sort it out, because there's so many things at these world championships. There's so many time slots and different events going on. But yeah, we're going to get some schedules and stuff together, because if it's hard enough for me to sort it out and I work here, then, you know, for other people, it's definitely tough. But yeah, I mean, Peacock's a good place for a lot of folks, but then there'll also be TV windows too for across NBC, USA. I think CNBC's got a couple as well for those big sessions too.
Well, make sure you follow Travis on all social media platforms. I'll also be trying to broadcast as much as I can. And the whole track and field community, Takes a Village, is going to be broadcasting these scenes out so we can make sure we follow together. And if you're a coach, get your athletes to watch. Have some watch parties, because that's how we create a culture, as we do this together. So, Travis, I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast. We talked way longer than I wanted to. But the problem is that you're so fun to talk to, and this has been so good. All this information is just nonstop, rapid fire. Your in-depth knowledge is good for our sport. Thank you for what you do. And is there anything you wanted to say before we cut out of here?
No, I think for people who are on the fence on a world championship year, you don't know whether you should wake up at 1 a.m. to watch a marathon. You know, I think that this is exciting. These are the people who are going to be headlining the Olympics in Paris. This is, you know, a first taste of the Americans and international athletes that maybe you're not as familiar with that are going to be putting on a show at, you know, the biggest event and spectacle in sports a year from now. So this is a great opportunity to sit down. I mean, there's not many track events where you get to watch. We have a dedicated field of event feed or you have a dedicated multi-event feed. You know, it's hard to do for all these. And this is one of those rare instances. So if you've never watched the multis before, challenge you to tune in for all the heptathlons. The same thing if you've never watched a long jump final, like, where you been? Tara Davis is the most entertaining, you know, yeah, human to potentially, arguably, she's the most entertaining person to watch in any event in the sport right now. So watch that women's long jump final and challenge you now that not every event, even Diamond Leagues, you know, it's so chopped up because you got to fit into 2 hours, but there's more time. So I'd you know, challenge everyone, watch some new events, tune in some different stuff, because a year from now, these are the people who will be, for Americans, representing our country at the Olympics and carrying that flag through the opening ceremony. So yeah, this is our little bit of a teaser, a sneak peek preview as to what, you know, the spectacle will be like in Paris 2024.
Love it, man. Well, stick around. You want to hear a spectacle, listen to our CEO Steve Rangel, just let you know how to get in contact with him on social media. So Steve, take it away.
Thanks for joining us on this week's On Track and Field podcast with a sneak peek of the 2023 World Athletics Championships with Travis Miller. The On Track and Field podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com. Custom engraved, meat and competition legal relay batons, water bottles and tumblers. Great for team branding, fundraisers, meet awards and coaches gifts. And by OnTrackAndField.com. Cross country and track's one-stop source for everything you need for a successful season. Competition gear, spikes, training equipment, and shoes. OnTrackAndField.com has everything you need. And make sure to check out our new website, OnTrackRunning.com, your new source for competition and training shoes, featuring Saucony, Brooks, On Running, New Balance, Asics, and Hoka shoes and spikes. OnTrackRunning.com. And make sure to follow us on our socials at OnTrack, the letter N, Field, at OnTrackAndField on Twitter and the Gram.